Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
For details.
Happy new league year, everyone. We discuss that, wrestling and basketball, all coming up on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Feel like we should have champagne, some party favors, things like that. Welcome in to the Gym Class on this March the 13th. Don't be confused. I'll explain coming up here in a moment. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Mark Ironside's going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes or so. And we'll talk about the Big Ten Wrestling Tournament that took place this past weekend at Williams Arena in Minneapolis. Look ahead to what's going to happen in Pittsburgh coming up in a week and a half. We'll talk about that with Mark here in just a little bit. We are presented by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. When you're at Third Base, you're practically home. And thanks to Third Base, locally owned and operated, they are the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. We have for you as well at your disposal the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line, brought to you by Hertina Stocker Jewelers. They are located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. Mark, happy new year to you. Happy new league year to you as well.
And to you.
And to everyone
out there. Yes. The NFL's new league season begins today, and already a flurry of activities in the last couple days. And
we knew about...
Wow, what about the Cleveland Browns?
The Cleveland Browns, like it or not, are more than likely the favorites in the AFC North now. Take a look at their skill, people. If Baker Mayfield does not suffer a sophomore slump, the Cleveland Browns are going to be a big-time player coming up in the National Football League. Yes, the new National Football League year started at 3 o'clock Central Time, and now all of the rumors are becoming official for the most part. Teams are putting out their signed players, free agents, trades, if you will. They all become official and became official 6 minutes ago. There'll be some things that we didn't know coming down the line as well, I'm sure, here in just a little bit. So,
I think I read the Browns' Super Bowl odds went down to 14-1.
Correct.
That's fifth in the league.
Fourth or fifth, depending on where in Vegas you subscribe to. We'll talk about with Dave Kokin about that coming up tomorrow, because there's some big shaking going on in Vegas and the desert. The Cleveland Browns, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready for five or six appearances of the Cleveland Browns on national television coming up when the official schedule, comes out. 319-366-1600. So that's what we mean on March the 13th by wishing everyone a happy new league year out there today. We're going to talk to Mark Ironside coming up here in just a little bit. Look back at what happened in Minneapolis at the Big Ten Wrestling Championships. And we'll do that coming up here, as I mentioned, in a couple minutes. We'll also have a Bowling Night in America preview coming up for you this evening. You texted me, I believe it's not the direct quote, but you said, is this the number one team in the country?
Yeah.
Last night when Gonzaga fell to St. Mary's in the finals, you heard it on our FM signals from Westwood 1 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And I responded to you, they're not playing very well tonight, but they are a good team.
Well, I got to believe that because you've seen them more than I have. Last night was the first time I've caught the majority of a Gonzaga game. I was curious about the number one team in the country, and knowing that St. Mary's has been a very, very tough team.
Good program.
In that league. Absolutely. And St. Mary's handled them. And, my question was, is Gonzaga not playing well, or what's happening here? Because last night, anyway, I didn't see a Gonzaga team that would finish very well in the Big Ten.
And they just didn't play very well last night, to be brutally honest with you. They just didn't have it for whatever reason. And St. Mary's. Now, granted, is anyone in the West Coast Conference League office complaining about it today?
Of course not.
No, because they made a whole bunch more money for the West Coast Conference by St. Mary's winning that game.
And busted perhaps a couple brackets.
Yes. Interestingly enough that you mentioned that, Mark, because you take a look at things, and I know Joe Lunardi today had only seven Big Ten teams in. He believes St. Mary's knocked off one of probably Indiana at this point. Although he still has eight Big 12 teams, and for the life of me, I cannot figure that out. He still has Texas in. If Texas loses, I believe they play Kansas tomorrow at the Big 12 tournament.
Yes.
They would be 16-16. How in the world do you have a 16-16 team make the NCAA tournament?
I think, you know as well as I do, things are going to change this week with all the conference tournaments. And Kansas perhaps beating Texas and knocking them off their perch. And yeah, I think it's the back half of the at-large berths is pretty soft right now.
We'll talk about this more after we talk some wrestling with Mark. But Dick Vitale, and I don't usually agree with a lot of things that Dick Vitale says. I like Dick Vitale. He's not my favorite basketball analyst out there, but he did have a very good plan, and I will share that with the listeners, and that'll be coming up a little bit later on. The big tournaments, the power tournaments, are getting underway today. That includes the Big Ten, as the Big Ten will have their two pigtail games coming up tonight. I got to throw a wrestling term in there, Mark. Nebraska and Rutgers at 5:30, and then coming up after that at 8 o'clock, one that I think will be of interest to folks around here, because it'll be Illinois taking on Northwestern, and the winner of that particular ball game will take on the Iowa Hawkeyes coming up. And that will be tomorrow night in the late affair, probably about 8:15. So we'll see what happens. We said 2 weeks ago, Iowa and the Big Ten, no one wanted to play Illinois. Is that still true at this present time? 319-366-1600.
I don't know about that, but we had a text from David at Hudson, wondering, does Gonzaga even deserve to be a top seed? Much bigger school teams have played a much harder conference schedule, i.e. Michigan State.
I say yes.
Well, I reviewed the Gonzaga schedule, and it's a damn tough schedule.
Beat Duke.
Beat Duke by two. Beat A&M, which is ranked.
Texas A&M?
No, I'm thinking the women.
You're sorry.
Texas A&M. Played Texas A&M. Played Illinois, beat them by six. Played Arizona, now the Pac-10's down. Played Creighton.
There's nothing wrong with the schedule that was played by those folks.
Lost by three to Tennessee,
who has been number one on and off.
Got beaten at Chapel Hill by North Carolina. That's a good schedule.
Very much so. Very much so.
Now, the West Coast Conference isn't particularly difficult.
No, but it's not a bad league.
Gonzaga has gone out of conference and played some very quality teams.
It's not a bad league. Also played in Maui, I believe. Gonzaga did. So they're a number one. One bad night is not going to drop them off the one line. We're going to get to a break, and then Mark's going to join us. But NCAA is putting out their pre-seeds for the tournament right now. And of course, you start at 125, and there is no one named Lee at one or two. And we'll talk about that and other things coming up here with Mark, and we'll do that when we return. Jim Class will also talk more basketball coming up, and seedings, Gonzaga, Big 10, Big 12, what have you. We'll kick that around on the program today as well. So stay with us. More to come right after this. It's Jim Class for Wednesday on KGYM.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at DuPaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through DuPaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house. for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that DuPaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at dupaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment. This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Doing HVAC work has given you some good opportunities. Now, how about an even better one? Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is looking to represent residential commercial HVAC workers. Being with 263 means you're part of the union, and union jobs offer better pay, better benefits, and better job security. Those are things that mean a better life using the skills you already have. Work with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263. Give Rick a call at 319-721-9414. 319-721-9414.
At American Family Insurance, we help protect what you've achieved so you can fearlessly go after your dreams. For auto, home, business, and life, contact us today. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance, Life Mutual Standard of Ohio and Wisconsin Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency, excellence in customer experience. Back at 3:15 on the Gym Class on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5. And 106.3 FM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer, as we get ready to talk some wrestling with you here today. And our wrestling segment is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. And thanks, Kurt, for helping us out throughout the season talking wrestling with you. Mark Ironside joining us here in studio after the Big Tens. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing well. The NCAA is releasing its pre-seeds for the NCAA tournament right now. I would say there's not much doubt at 165 now, right, Mark?
I would not hope so. I wouldn't
think
so.
How about that match?
That was, boy, I was very, very pleased. Let's just say that. Marinelli, such a... number one, he's a stud when it comes to wrestling, but just a great person. Just his mentality, his attitude, his effort that he puts into things, how hard he wrestles. But the other thing is, too, is just how much he has improved as a wrestler. He was great coming out of high school, and he was really good last year, All-American as a freshman. But just see how hard he works at improving his skill set and getting better from match to match to match, or even honestly making the adjustments during a match from period to period to period, that's a true sign of a great wrestler.
Vincenzo Joseph went out there like, okay, I'm here, I'm the champ, and didn't do much in my mind.
Well, the thing is, he never does do much. If anybody, you know, when you watch him, he's not a real aggressive offensive wrestler. He's a very, very, very good counter and defensive wrestler. His hips are insane. He's incredible. So it's his matches a lot of times are very low scoring because he waits for people pretty much to come at them, but they don't want or him, but they don't want to go at him because they know how darn good he is with his hips and his defense. He's so hard to score on. Marinelli, that's the thing about the bowl, is the fact that mentally, he doesn't care who he's wrestling. He's going to stick to his game plan. He's going to be aggressive right from the first whistle to the last whistle, and he's going to make it a wrestling match. And he came out, and he was in four or five legit shots in the beginning of that first period without scoring. If he would have just been sitting around, kind of hanging out and waiting for this to come down to the end like most people do, whatever, chances are he might not win that match.
He was the aggressor.
For sure. Yeah. Joseph should have been warned for stalling early in that first period. And that's one thing that really upsets me and gets underneath my skin is the fact that these referees wait until the third period when someone's behind 2-1 or 3-2 or whatever. Then the other guy that's behind starts, you know, taking shots in the last 30 seconds. They have to go to win. But the original wrestler was actually taking shots in the beginning of the match, okay? But no stall calls are called then. My biggest pet peeve when it comes to referees is, and this isn't not a knock on the referees, but it is a knock on the referees, because it's a tirelessly, endlessly unthankful job, and it's not an easy job. But you have to call stalling the first 30 seconds of the match like you're going to call it in the last 30 seconds of the match. If you're going to call a guy for taking two shots or three shots when he's behind by a point, if you're going to call the other guy for stalling because the other guy has to score now, so now he has to put a barrage of shots together, but you're not going to call either one of them in the first period for not doing anything, then you can't call that guy right now either. Okay, that's not fair. You got to call the last 30 seconds like the first 30 seconds.
It's like that in any sport. I mean, you want the officiating to be consistent from start to finish. You can't change the way you do it as you get to the back half
Correct.
Of a match or a game or whatever the heck you are.
Correct.
So I would agree.
It's something you see, honestly, at all levels, high school and college, you know, and it needs to be, it really needs to be kind of fixed. But there's a lot of rules that honestly need to be reconsidered and kind of messed around with or either taken out or reinterpreted.
One of my big questions for you today, Mark, is how many times were you slapped in the face during a wrestling match?
Well, the hands to the face thing.
Has that become a point of emphasis or is that just me?
No.
Like, I'm talking about the Spencer Lee match.
Right, of course. But has it become a point of emphasis from the wrestler's point of view? Is that
the
what
officials.
You're saying? The officials? Well, it has because they've made it a rule. But the reason that they've
but
made...
But Northwestern made... called for the replay.
Right. So the reason they made this a rule to start with is when two guys start wrestling from a neutral position, you see both guys kind of just stiff arming each other, keeping each other away, kind of like almost trying to poke the guy each other in the eye or whatever. And the wrestlers, and I blame the wrestlers for this. The wrestlers are the ones that have brought this on themselves. As much as you want to complain about the rule, you really, the wrestlers are the ones to complain because they're the ones that have been, in my opinion, it's not really wrestling. Just stiff arm, keeping the guy away, keeping him away, poke him in the eyes or whatever. And then you got the other half, you know, crying and whining and complaining about it. So then they have to do something about it, so they make a rule. But the rule interpretation is it has to be above the eyes, like in the forehead. You're fine. What I saw from Rivera to Spencer Lee, everything was above the eyes mm-hmm. and in the forehead. I didn't see anything below. And that he could have at some point in time in the match. But when we reviewed it, I didn't see anything that was illegal or anything. It was hands to the face, but it was a palm above the eyes, and that is legal. Where they called Spencer was that his hand touched below the eyes, which was actually kind of a brush on the side of the face. But the rule was not put into play for that particular position in wrestling. Rivera had double unders on Spencer Lee, and he was jacking him up. Spencer Lee has to get his hips back, clear, and circle out. But when a guy has you in double unders, he's literally jacking your arms up and putting his hands in your face. It'd be like me lifting your arms up and putting your hands in your face and pressuring towards you, which makes it even more so the hands in the face. We can demonstrate if you want. Okay?
So if you're Mark's pass. Okay? Mark Dukes is good.
The thing is, though, is that's not what the rule... Spencer Lee did exactly what he needed to do and should have done. There was nothing that he did intentionally to cause a danger or stall or anything like that. It was just good wrestling. It should mm-hmm. have never been stopped. It should never have been overturned. But by the rules, the official made the right call. I don't agree with it, and I don't agree with the rules. The rule needs to be reinterpreted, and they have to be – honestly, I'd like to have seen the referee just say, hey, you know what? That's not why the rules are into play. That was good wrestling. There was nothing illegal done there, okay? Really, there wasn't. It wasn't bad.
Nobody gained an advantage.
Yeah, no, exactly, you know? And it was just sad to be – it ends up going into overtime because of that. And Spencer didn't do anything wrong. He – you know, he did what he needed to do in that particular situation. Now, granted, he allowed Rivera to give him a double unders, which is not a good position for Spencer to be in. But at the same time, you know, Spencer allowed Rivera to take him down in the third period and then also in overtime took him down again. And honestly, Spencer was in an amazing shot. He was in a great shot. I'm sitting looking at him, thinking, overtime. I'm thinking, we got this. You know, we got this. He was in great position. And you got to give credit to Rivera. He hipped in last desperation. He knew he was pretty much done. Last desperation, hipped into Spencer, got him off balance just enough, just barely enough, to where Spencer got off balance, lost his kind of the pressure that he had, and then Rivera perfectly timed in a split second was able to feel that, and then just boom, bowled right through him for a 2-point takedown. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rivera wrestled a good match. You can't take it away from him. It was a good match by Spencer Lee too. It was just good wrestling. It was unfortunate that Spencer gets a call that it was not a deserving call. But by the rules, the referee was correct. Just a dumb rule along with three or four others.
Iowa salvaged out a third-place finish at the Big Tens. They were sixth, I think, after the first session.
Sixth. That first session was definitely ugly. It was not.
And that kind of it was it not kind of destroyed Iowa to get second.
Right. I think that I don't know, obviously, the rhyme or reason, but it's like a lot of our guys that very, very first session were wrestling not to lose. They weren't going out. They weren't attacking out of the gate. Or if they did get a lead, then they tried sitting on the lead. You know, it just wasn't really good, fun wrestling to watch. And that wasn't everybody, you know, but it was enough guys to where it hurt us. We lost, I think, four matches, super close matches that first round that we were very, very, very capable of winning. And we were just kind of sitting in situations, holding position, and not wrestling through situations. And, like, we were trying to protect something. As the tournament progressed and went on, the team as a whole started loosening up and wrestling better and better and better and better. Sunday session was definitely the best session they wrestled throughout the tournament. The second session was better than the first session. Third session was better than the second session. Fourth session was better than the third session. It's just we need to come out and realize that, hey, we got nothing to lose here. Okay, go out and just wrestle and let the fur fly. Exactly like what Alex Marinelli basically said in his interview.
Seven or eight of the Hawkeyes wrestled two or above their
eight
seats.
Of them.
Eight of them.
So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad. I mean, 8 out of 10 of our guys wrestled two or above their seeds. 6 of them wrestled to their seed. 2 of them wrestled, being Caleb Young and Marinelli, above their seed, one place above their seed. That's pretty darn good. 8 guys out of 10 that did that. It just goes to show you how dominant Penn State is. You know, I mean, right now they've got some serious horses in there. We kind of have put ourselves in that situation to where we're 50 points behind them. That's a long, 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 long ways. But we're only like 15 points away from Ohio State. And I don't want to play the shoulda, woulda, coulda type of scenario here. The three wrestlers that just about did it, and they're all sumo, shoulda, woulda, coulda. But if you give us Michael Kemmer, a healthy Michael Kemmer, instead of Mitch Bowman, and God bless Mitch Bowman, I mean, the kid just tries as hard as he can. But you give us a healthy, you know, Michael Kemmer, and you give us a healthy Sam Stoll, we have a solid, solid, solid second place finish. And it'd be kind of curious to see how close we actually were to Penn State in a situation like that.
What do you make of Sam Stoll? He gets an at-large berth, and my first thought was he didn't have a good Big Ten tournament. Two thoughts that ran through my mind. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's probably not very healthy, and what kind of motivation is this guy going to have in the NCAAs? Now, it'd be great if he could score some points for Iowa. There's no question about it. And I was glad to have him in there. And I just wondered about his mindset.
I think his mindset is honestly as good as it possibly could be. Right. He's got a great, great, great mindset. I think he is like a little kid in a candy store. He is so excited for this opportunity, for this chance to finish out his senior career, to be able to go hop on the plane with the team, be in a singlet, and go out there and perform in the Nationals. The only bad thing is, and the very frustrating thing is, it's just with his knee and all the injuries that he's had and so forth, is that he's injured. And he can't, and it's so frustrating, and I see the frustration coming out of him, is that he just is not as, he just doesn't have the mobility that he had once had. And so he can't be as good of a wrestler. And it's very frustrating because a lot of these guys think that they're just that good and they're beating him or whatever, but they have no clue. I mean, he was ranked number one in the country coming in to the year. He was so good, but he just, it's just like, you know, someone just took away a leg, basically. And when you get to that level of competition, especially in the Big Ten, there's so many good heavyweights out there. It's hard to, if, you know, one, he can't shoot. I mean, he has a really, really hard time on bottom, obviously, because he of getting out because of the mobility and putting all that pressure and weight on that bent knee. So then he can't shoot because he can't come up and finish and drive off of it. He can't bend it as that well. And so then he has to rely on his hand fighting skills and his two-on-ones and stuff. Well, when you do a lot of that and you're relying on that, you have to be very circular. It can't just be a normal kind of lean on each other type of heavyweight match, okay? You got to work hard, which he's always done in the past, but you got to circle. Say he gets his two-on-one, you got to circle with it. You got to get angles with it. Well, he can't do that either, really, because he has a hard time moving laterally with that bum knee, unfortunately. So basically, he's just kind of stuck in a rut there. But he's going to have to get creative between now and then and try and find some different ways and work a little bit harder even to try and score some points from that, like we've been saying, from that.
It would be a great story if he could get on the podium.
It would be. Yeah. I tell you what, I would just be elated and so incredibly happy for Sam Stoll if he could become an All-American somehow, some way. And because I tell you what, he's such a great kid, and he means so well, and it is what it is. I'm just happy he can make it to the tournament, to be honest with you. And if he scores some points for us, you know, fantastic. But I'd like to see him even, you know, it's not about scoring points for the team. I just want to be able to do it for himself and find his way to his All-American status.
Big picture now, and we'll talk more about this next week as we get closer. But Iowa gets 9. I think the only team that qualified all 10 was Ohio State going into the national tournament. Everybody else has 9. You take a look at, let's talk about the Big 12 for a moment. You and I had a bad tournament.
Yeah.
They're only going to get 6.
Yeah, 6 guys going through. There. And I don't believe Max Thompson was even one of them, which, boy, if you would have said at the beginning of the year that an All-American like Max Thompson was not even going to qualify for the tournament, whew. But yeah, Doug Schwab and the Panther Train, you and I, they did not have a good tournament. They did have one champ in Drew Foster, who overturned a loss to Cole Bray from Iowa State from the dual meet just a couple of weeks ago. So that was big for Drew Foster there. But Steyer was in a tough weight class at 165 and got third. I know Albert lost first round, but he came back and qualified. And Oklahoma State had a great tournament. They really, really wrestled well. They're on fire right now. I think beating Iowa like they did has given them a lot of momentum. And they're going to be – it's going to be interesting to see who's second, third, fourth, and fifth at the NCAA wrestling tournament.
Now, they did get Max Thompson in.
They did?
I'm just double-checking. Yes, he got 7th, so he did get in.
So that weight class must have been an automatic.
Must
have
had an automatic, yeah.
All right, well, good.
Schwarm, Albert, Thompson, Steyer, Lujan, and Foster.
All right, good.
All made it in. So there it is.
Yeah, I mean.
But they only got 6. Conversely, Iowa State had a really good tournament. Mm-hmm. They got 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1 last year, 9 this year.
Dresser got Coach of the Year in the Big 12.
Which is very deserving. Obviously, you take a team that you had 1 qualifier last year and you get 9 this year. He's brought the team along quite a ways in one year. So, and a lot of people didn't think that was capable, especially after losing Mike Zadik. They thought that was going to be a big, huge blow to him and really hurt them from a coaching standpoint. And obviously, they've been doing just fine. So, Yeah. It's going to be really interesting what happens at the NCAAs. I'm kind of curious, as Mark was just pointing out, 133, like what happens at 133 from a seating point of view, because there's a lot. That weight class is pretty loaded. And, you know, Michik from the number one seed at 133 from Michigan didn't even wrestle in the Big Tens. He just defaulted out of the whole entire tournament. So I don't know what's going on there. But it's going to really kind of mess things up a little bit. DeSanto, he wrestled hard in the tournament. The kid just needs to find some more offense and some different offense. What I mean by different offense is that, you know, when you're down whatever it was to Lezak, he gets beat 6-2. You're down 4 points in the third period with 30, 40 seconds to go. You know, just a little high crotch or low single or single leg is not going to score you more than likely 4 points. And he just kept going back to that. We got to find something that's going to be feet to back type of thing. Just starting to figure some different things out, or solid finishes, solid doubles, and not going to singles where a guy like Lezak can drape over you and stuff like that. He just has to continue to keep learning, improving, and getting better. But the kid has a motor. He's in the right frame of mind. He loves to wrestle. He's got unbelievable passion for the sport, and he's fun to have around. He's for sure a team player, and he's 100% on board. So with that being said, he's going to do nothing but go up.
Question for you on the text line, Mark, 1657 wants to know, your thoughts about the lack of bonus points Iowa scored overall. Is that easier said than done in the Big Ten?
Well, I think what happened was that first round killed them because they just wrestled tight. They wrestled not to lose, like I said. And if you're going to get bonus points, that's the round you get bonus points, is when your opponents aren't as good. They're not highly as seeded. They started getting wrestling better and better as the tournament went on. But the competition got tougher and tougher, so they're winning more matches. They were dominating a little bit more, but a really good match might have been a 3-point win, a 4-point win, or a great win might have just been a win at that point. Mm-hmm. So as you got further in the tournament, we started wrestling well. You're not going to get as many bonus points then. Where we really did not do a very good job was that first round. I'm thinking 3 of those 4 matches we lost, we should be getting bonus points in. I'm thinking in my mind before the whistle even blows, and then not only do we not get bonus points, we lose the match. You know, I mean, a match like
that's tight, 12 points.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, I'm thinking of 184 with Wilkie. You know, he's wrestling a guy that from Minnesota, he beats 9-2 in the dual meet. I'm thinking, okay, we should be getting a bonus point there. You know, and he beats him 2-1. You know, barely wins right there. And same thing with Pat Lugo at 149. He either majored or teched the guy in the dual meet, but then during the Big Tens, what did he do there? He didn't even beat him. So it's like, geez, where was that one? I'm trying to look at the brackets and see Lugo Thorne. Oh, he beat him 6-4, you know, which before earlier I think he might have teched him beat him 14-0 or something. He still won, but it was only 6-4. There's just a lot of matches there. I thought that we'd be able to secure some bonus points, and we just didn't get them. But that we just have to come out in those earlier rounds. That's where you're going to get a lot of those bonus points.
The Maryland wrestling job's open if you're interested.
I did see that. And
that's
actually
what happens when you score 13.
Yeah, I had a talk with Kerry, Coach McCoy, at the Big Tens on Sunday. I could almost sense it. He was just really, really down. And he was talking about how there's a lot more important things and bigger things in the grand scheme of things that go on in everybody's lives and in the world other than just wrestling matches, and which is very true.
Mm-hmm. Two-edged sword maybe for Maryland, because, you know, they go into the Big Ten, great. You go into the Big Ten, uh-oh. Because you're not one of the elite programs, and you got to make it an elite program just to be in the middle ground of the Big Ten wrestling.
Right, and it's not easy to do. I mean, but I really thought that he would be a lot more successful than what he was there. And you could just see that he's kind of lost the drive, the passion for coaching. And if anybody watched the dual meet this year when we wrestled him at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, I mean, he just sat in his chair kind of the whole time. He really didn't get up out of his chair much. He didn't yell much. He didn't he wasn't very motivating to the guys. Just like he could just tell he kind of checked out. And I think that – and he resigned. I don't know if, you know, sometimes you get forced out, but then, you know, he give you the opportunity to resign. I think, honestly, he just on his own just stepped down after the Big Ten was over. But the thing is, though, it's a Big Ten school. It's on the East Coast, and that's going to be an extremely, extremely good job to be had by somebody.
Somebody out there.
And it's going to take a while to get it up and going, but it definitely will be a really good job to have. Someone could really do a good job out there and turn that program around.
Division three is done before we let you go, and hats off to Loras. If you had, if you said before went into that thing that Wartburg was not going to be the top finishing Iowa Conference or America Rivers Conference, I'm sorry, dollar goes into the jar. But yeah, Wartburg finishes sixth, yeah, which is still good, but that's. That's, no one in Waverly is happy about that.
No, it's they're treading in some waters they haven't treaded in the deep end for a long, long, long time. They are there. They got to be scratching their heads and doing some reevaluation there. So yeah, I don't know what's going on, but that was a rough go for them, no doubt about it. Augsburg just blew everybody out of the water, man alive. Augsburg, I think they won that thing by like 50 points or something, or more, maybe it's even 80 points. With Lors a second, it was just very, very, very spread out after Augsburg. You know, one champ here, one champ there, you know, a couple All-Americans here, a couple of All-Americans there. Just a really weird term. There are some schools in there, honestly, I never even heard of in the top five, six or whatever. So,
Clint Lembeck from Xavier third, and Kyle Briggs really close to reaching the national championship.
Yeah.
Just lost in the last 10
seconds.
AJ
Pilcher said the Metro would have finished eighth.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, congratulations to Kyle Briggs, Coach Briggs' son, and that's awesome. And he's only a sophomore, so he's got two more
finished
years.
Third. Mm.
Yeah, third. And then Taylor Maimon, Cedar Rapids Prairie Prep, who, out of Co., All-American there. That's great for him. So, yeah, that's good. It's good to see some Cedar Rapids area kids in that D3 wrestling and doing well and being successful. So we'll see what happens. That's coming to Cedar Rapids next year.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it really is. That's going to be a humongous event to have down at the U.S. Sailor Center. Then the following year, I believe it goes up to La Crosse. And then the next year, back in 2022, back to Cedar Rapids again.
Nice.
So two out of the next 3 years are going to be in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah. And D1's in Minneapolis next year.
Yeah, that's going to be, whew.
So make your wrestling plans early.
Yeah. We were talking actually before. You're definitely going to want to try and get a hotel room right now. If you can.
Yeah, we've got people. We've
maybe
heard.
Check out Rochester right now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Rochester's looking
Paul,
pretty good
Rochester,
at this point.
Situation like that, I'm glad that I'm in on the inside and hop on the bus and have a hotel to stay.
You're
going to
have a lot of friends by next year, Mark.
I do
a lot
have,
more friends.
Yeah, I do have a cousin that lives up there. I might end up having, because my wife and kids are definitely going to go next year to that tournament. I'm going to have to find a room for them somehow, some way, too. So, and honestly, a couple employees, too, because we'll be taking the whole business up there for the Fan Fest and all that next year. So I as well have to kind of get on that and find a couple of rooms.
Seeds continue to come out. Pre-seeds, 157 Nolf, number one, and
Shocker.
Berger, number two.
Yeah, that was interesting. If you guys follow the social media, how Berger from Nebraska, when they wrestled in the dual meet, basically stopped wrestling halfway through the match, completely quit wrestling, and then got on social media and said he's going to be off the rest of the entire season until the Big Ten so he could concentrate on making heads roll, and Nolf, you're going to be at the list. And then Nolf just freaking
hammered him.
Smoked him in the finals. Smoked him in the finals. And I think Nolf's great. I got tons of respect for Nolf. Just the way that he handles himself, carries himself, and his personality, and his competitiveness, and everything. He's just a great, great wrestler.
We're wasting time here. See in like the next 90 seconds if 165 comes up here. So
yeah. There can't be much question there.
Hasn't come up yet.
I can't imagine that. What's going to be interesting to see who's 2, 3, 4, and 5 type of guys there. Obviously, Marinelli will be number one. Joseph will be number two, but 3, 4, 5, I don't know. I don't know how this one's going to play out, you know. Marinelli beat Wick again for the third time of the season. That one was not an impressive win in the fact that he kind of held on towards the end there, didn't really finish wrestling the match and the style that he wanted wrestling. But, you know, the referees, again, they stepped in, they called stalling for on Marinelli on the bottom in the second period, which I thought was a terrible, terrible call. I mean, the kid's trying to come up off the bottom. He's trying to wrestle there. But at the same time, Wick isn't doing anything either. He's got both legs in. If a guy's riding with both legs in, he's not riding to turn a guy. He's riding to rack right time up. That's all he's doing. You physically cannot turn someone if you have both legs in. You have to have a leg out off to the side to drive off of in order to turn someone. And obviously referees don't understand that. If a guy's got both legs in, he's stalling just as much as the bottom guy's stalling, or call him double stalling if you have to, or stalemate it and start over. Okay, give them, you know, the only reason you put both legs in is to break a guy down. But once you get him broken down, you've got to get off to the side, one side or the other. And so then they called Marinelli there, and they were thinking about, I'm sure, heavily calling him in the third period. I'm glad that they didn't for stalling the third period, because that was kind of a BS call in the second period.
In the Wick match.
In the Wick match, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Wick, you know, every match of Wick's is always like a 2-1. The two matches after getting beat by Marinelli in the semis, he won 2-1, and both of them are on. One's on a stall call, and one's on a riding time point. You know, so referees kind of have to be looking at that, you know, as well, too, versus Marinelli. I mean, Marinelli tries to wrestle. He's trying. He's aggressive all the time. Wick, not so much, you know. He went 3 matches without a takedown. 3 matches. Semis and the 2 wrestlebacks never got a single takedown.
That's crazy.
Okay? But yet, he never gets called for stalling. Figure that one out.
Evan Wick, meet Mark Hall.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, Mark Hall's a little bit more aggressive than Wick.
Can be.
He can be.
Can we talk to you Tuesday or Wednesday of next week?
Tuesday, because Wednesday. Tuesday, we fly out at 2 o'clock, and I'll probably be on an airplane.
Okay, so Wednesday.
So Wednesday
it is. From Pittsburgh.
From Pittsburgh.
Live from Pittsburgh.
I don't know where I'll be at 3:15 next Wednesday in Pittsburgh, but I will be in Pittsburgh, and
it'll be 4:15 in Pittsburgh.
Right, okay, so at 4:15 in Pittsburgh, I'll be waiting for a phone call.
Can you get a Philly steak sandwich in Pittsburgh?
No. Don't even say it. Maybe try the incline railway out there. That's fun.
What is that?
They'll let you know.
Okay.
Goes up the big mountain there.
I mean, I got all day. I got Tuesday night and all day Wednesday. So I'm going to go do something. I've never been to the city of Pittsburgh before. So I used to be a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan when I was a kid.
You're not going to find Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell there now.
No, you're not. No, you're not. All right, man. Safe travels. We'll talk to you in Pittsburgh next week.
All right. Sounds good, fellas. Keep up the good work.
All right. Mark Ironside's appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids. 3:45. We're going to get you an ESPN extra point. And it's brought to you by Brick Alley in Uptown Marion. Back with more after this.
Every block, every basket, every win. Don't miss a moment of tournament action. Grab your crew and head to Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion. Watch the games on a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, 20 beers on tap, and drink specials. They have 2 rooms available for private party rentals, too. Basketball at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. And weekdays after work, come in for happy hour from 3 to 6. And trivia Wednesday nights at 7.
ESPN Radio Extra Point with Will Kane.
Nick Foles is the new quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Many have asked, who are they bidding against? Why so much? Why pay so much money? The NFL Network's Mike Garofalo said one of the reasons the Jags might have paid so much was to increase Foles' standing in the locker room. You can't use your contract as your status, as your leadership position. You can't use your contract as credibility. Nick Foles walks in as a leader, man, a Super Bowl MVP, and he's BDN? And you're telling me Nick Foles needs a contract to have some sway, to have some credibility, to have a leadership position? Well, if that's true, the Jags are crazy. If that's true, that's a sad statement on Nick Foles and his leadership. And if that's true, that's a sad statement for that locker room. And I don't buy any of it.
Get more from Will Kane today from 3 to 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, or just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck in no time. So you can haul gravel, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. And now get a 1 Series for just $99 a month at your nearest participating John Deere dealer. Nothing runs like a deer. Run with us. Search John Deere 1 Series for more. 0% annual percentage rate. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Uber has been doing a ton of great things this last year, and Uber Rewards is going to make you love Uber even more. With Uber Rewards, you'll get rewarded for things you're already doing. Every eligible dollar you spend on rides and Uber Eats earns you points that unlock amazing benefits, like Uber Cash, complimentary surprise upgrades, flexible cancellations, and so much more. Your life is about to get more rewarding thanks to Uber. Get all the info and terms at uber.com/rewards. That's uber.com/rewards.
Let's observe the inflatable noodle man. His constant undulating entices people to look at me, he's tireless and brainless, a literal airhead. Curiously, however, the inflatable noodle man, when hearing that Geico not only saves people money, but also has an award-winning app that makes it easy to manage one's policy, he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Just ask an inflatable noodle man. Carefully, they are unpredictable creatures.
Always fun and exhilarating to talk wrestling with Mark Ironside. And he'll join us again next Wednesday live from Pittsburgh as we get ready for the NCAA Division I National Wrestling Championships. 3:49 here on the program. And before we talked a little wrestling, we talked a little bit about college basketball, bracketology. And again, we understand, no, it's not like bracketology in November when no one knows what's happening. By the way, go back and look at bracketology in November because they have it out there, and that'll make you smile a little bit on the day. But anyway, St. Mary's took somebody's spot away last night with a victory. And whose spot is that going to be? Texas probably falls out of the tournament tomorrow if they lose in that first round game to Kansas, which more than likely probably will happen. Oklahoma is playing in a pigtail match at the Big 12s coming up this evening. They have to win that thing. They cannot. They're 7-11 in the league. Should win tonight because I think they play West Virginia. Don't quote me on that.
That is correct.
Okay. And if they lose that game and West Virginia beats Oklahoma, which is possible, WVU's been playing better as of late for Huggy Bear, but Oklahoma should win, and they have to win that game tonight, or that opens up things. I mentioned Dick Vitale earlier on, and he, like I said, I don't agree with everything Dick Vitale says. I don't believe he's the world's greatest analyst, like he was, I think, at one point, 10, 15 years ago, but he did say today, he goes, why not have 8 slots open every year for mid-majors? Non-power, it doesn't even have to be a mid-major. Non-power conferences. Have 28 spots in the at-large pool for power conferences, 8 for non-power conferences. Then you can get your Belmonts in, your Greensboro, your St. Mary's.
8 deserving every year?
No, I don't think there are.
At the expense of a Power 5 fifth-place team?
Who wants to see 16-16 Texas play in the NCAA tournament?
Shaka Smart?
Shaka Smart does, because I think he's going to get let go if they don't make it, and which is a shame because I think Shaka Smart's a pretty good coach, and he'll land on his feet somewhere.
Not a bad idea, Dick.
It's not a bad idea. And no, not 8 are deserving every year, and I'd be the first to admit that. I'm not sure there are 8 that are going to be deserving this year, but there are 4 pretty darn good ones out there. If Buffalo loses in the MAC, there's another one. That's going to be 5 out there. And I'd rather see a 29-win Buffalo team than a 16-win Texas team in any day.
Yeah.
So that's my thought. That's my thought. I'm for the little guy, Mark. I'm for the little guy out there.
We also talked a little bit of the NFL, and that's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Are the Browns now the team to beat in the AFC? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast. Folks out there are Denver fans out at Emil's. I know that. No, they're Chiefs fans.
They're Chiefs fans,
yeah,
Mark.
They're Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. Oh, you also have to get through the Chiefs and the Patriots.
Here it is, and I told Alex and Kyle this in the KGYM sports office earlier today. Patriots lose five starters, and I said, I can't wait to see the five guys you never heard of that come in and become all pros for Belichick, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen again. Browns, yeah, they got a lot better.
They sure did.
A lot better. The Chiefs defensively are going to look a whole – they're going to look 180 degrees different. They just released Eric Berry with the new year, starting in the National Football League. Not unexpected there, but kind of sad with whatever – with everything Eric Berry has gone through. Your Bears, by the way, are piping in that they are interested in Eric Berry, at least people that cover the Bears, saying that he may end up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So we'll see on that. It might end up in Atlanta as well. I guess Justin Houston is looking like he's going to be a Falcon, if not there already. All right, take a break, come back, and Bowling Night in America comes up tonight. It is a Wednesday. We'll talk about that when we return.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work, and it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and C-Corp tax filings before April 15th. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. 319-208-3712. Community.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. It is a Wednesday, Mark. A Wednesday indeed. And we're going to get to John in Columbus Junction coming up in a moment. But Bowling Night in America preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
Week 26 in the mature Evergreen League, or the dulled Evergreen League, however you want to look at it. Rusty Nails coming off a nice performance last week, trying to do it again tonight against KBO Catering. KBO currently in third in the league.
Yep.
Tough team. Very tough team. You're on. I'm off. I'll expect texts. You're on lanes 19 and 20.
Oh, way in the end.
Next to the ladies league, in which there are several good bowlers there.
So. Yeah. Yeah, really good. Really good. Really good.
So we'll give it a whirl on May City Bowl.
Stop on by. Ask him about open bowling. Ask him about globe bowling. Ask him about their terrific pro shop that they have out there on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. John in Columbus Junction wants to talk about the Cleveland Browns as a team to beat in the AFC, perhaps. John, are you a long-suffering Browns fan?
I am not. I am a diehard 49er fan.
Okay. Happy D. Ford.
Yeah, I'll take him.
For 87 million.
I'm excited about my Niners next year. But on to the topic about those Cleveland Browns. You know what? I'll go on out on them and say, yeah, I think they could definitely be the team to beat next year in the conference. They're making all the right moves. As long as Baker doesn't have a sophomore slump, I would not bet against the Browns playing against anybody.
Pretty good defense and as good a skill people as anybody in the AFC.
They've had a good defense all along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yes. Dorsey continues to do it. Great GM out there, and it was a great hire by the Cleveland Browns. Yes. Hey, John, appreciate the call. Thanks, man.
Yep, thanks.
319-366-1600, and more texts, more calls coming up during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That is coming your way next. Dave Kochen tomorrow and Kevin Lehman to talk some college basketball.
Tip of the cap to Tom Keating, who's got a new job with the Iowa High School Athletic Association, executive director come what, next July?
July 1st, he will take over from Alan Bastien.
Very successful volleyball coach, and then has been at Xavier.
Principal and now president at Xavier. So he's going to take over in July. And great for Tom. Just a terrific man. And we got an in over there. All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, Mike. How's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have